Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No matter where you work from these days, take Gresh and Fauria with you on the Odyssey app. Favorite WEI.
So 1 week from today, we will be in Detroit for the draft.
Can't wait.
Have you found some good places, some pizza places out there? We got to get some real authentic Detroit pizza. Oh, baby.
Yeah, I have not.
I feel like we really need to map out our little trip here. This is a great bonding moment for you and I. It's just you and I. There's no engineer. There's no nothing. There's no Twitcher. There's no Coop. There's no Billy. There's no Nick. There's no Ken. We are responsible for the entire show. You and I.
You know what? I'm not going to say what I was.
Why? Go ahead. What do you do?
Become best friends.
Yeah. We're, yes.
No,
are,
no, no.
Are you freaked out that we have one room and one bed?
No, no, no. No, that's fine. Whatever. Stick it in.
Head to toe. You said stick it in.
Why is it that we would be the ones who would be trusted to be self-sufficient?
Okay. Well, I would say this. Hold on. I'm going to pay you a compliment. Hold on.
Oh, God.
Buckle in. Out of everybody on all the shows, morning, midday, afternoon, who do you think individually could set everything up without any assistance from anybody else?
Greg Hill. He's been in the business 40 years.
He's never plugged anything in. Are you kidding me?
How about
the red light goes on? Hold on.
Hold on.
You can say yourself if you want.
How about producer Chris Curtis?
No. Again, that's another no. What's that? Just
can't set up a board.
No.
A Zoom. A camera. I'm just saying they expect us to take care.
I would even toot my own horn just for a second here.
Oh, well, toot.
Because I was
the breaking news sounded.
I was able to do this a couple years ago when I was in Kentucky with my daughter for a camp, but she had a tournament.
Yeah.
It took me about 3 days to figure it out. There were a million little freaking rooms they put me in, and I was able to pull it off.
Go.
I was so proud of myself after that. I'm not going to lie. There's no possible way I should have been able. I literally think I just got lucky.
Laird Man jumped in the Twitch chat and said, I have full trust in you two.
Well, that's the first
mistake.
So
that's a...
that's one person.
No, it's more. I prefer to look at it the other way. I don't take it as a compliment. I look at it as apparently it must be flaws in the other people that we work with if they're in radio and can't plug something in.
Well, there's plugging it in while you're like working from home, which is real easy. And even Doug had to come to my house this one time during COVID.
Oh, jeez, that's awful.
Had to come to the house. I'm like,
what
is this?
Turn it off. Turn it back on. Go from there. Oh. Make sure your power's right. All that kind of stuff.
And what are we doing with Twitch? Who's setting up Twitch?
Me.
So really, this is a production. I'll just carry the bags. Done. I'll carry the bags. This is when you got to find a way to be useful.
So this is I'm assuming we'll be given some company equipment for Zoom and stuff like that, or
what?
Or am I just bringing my setup and we're going to use my
phone?
We're going to use my old laptop is really what it is. I do have some lights that I can bring.
Oh man, I thought we were going to travel light. Quickly, we're
two
mercenaries traveling the world.
They're very small.
We're like the
nice A-team. Little zip thing, and
we need a van.
Oh like yeah, oh yeah. So this is what it is. So who are you, Babe? Who are you,
oh,
BA?
Oh yeah, I was always
you're
BA.
And make sure that.
Wait, did you not when you were a kid? Did you not play A team?
Oh my God, of course.
Yeah,
well,
and who are you,
Face? No, I wasn't Face.
Hannibal? You probably thought you were Hannibal.
Yeah.
Who was the, yeah, I was always BA.
And the Murdoch was the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Murdoch was the one who was like the pilot, I think, or something like
that. Yeah, the crazy pilot who they would A-team. Always break out of some psychiatric ward. This is us in slow motion walking down
somewhere
Detroit airport.
Somewhere Eddie Edelman is twitching.
That used to be the open of our show.
Does it really?
Well, they, yeah, it was.
I don't know. They were listening to it.
Dale and Eddie were the A team.
I get it.
Hot dogs.
I am excited, though, because, you know, the last time I was in Detroit, I was working for the Patriots, actually, for the Crafts, like doing those games with Dan Roach. And that's when my nephew Joseph had his first game.
Mm-hmm.
We actually played, caught a couple touchdowns, too. And I remember the place just smelling.
Joseph Fourier, whose dad Christian was a tight end with the Patriots.
Oh, come on, Buck.
Yeah, I got that one.
Come
wrong.
On.
Yeah, you missed the Friday story. There was another story that the Trojan wire got wrong. A local,
in California, and they screwed up you.
No, it was telling the story that Giancarlo Stanton played, went to high school at some rival school that I went to. Crespi versus Notre Dame, and they said, Giancarlo Stanton was a great football player, and what would have happened if he would have accepted that scholarship to play football at USC? And then it goes on to say, like, what a great job he did against Richard Sherman and, Dane Crist and Christian Fourier.
Oh.
I was sitting there doing the math going, wait a second.
How did that
work? I was like, well, Lou broke it down for us. My nephew played.
Lou broke it down.
He broke it down. I couldn't figure it out. My nephew at the time played against him, not me. And that's where you get the joke.
Math. Christian is 18 years older than Giancarlo Stanton.
I would have kicked his ass, by the way.
You probably would have.
There's no way they would have been talking highly about him.
I would have taken you on that one. By the way, Ken Laird said the engineering team from Odyssey Detroit will be awaiting us.
Oh, really?
It's not. It isn't hard to set it up. I just noticed that, when the Greg Hill Show goes somewhere, there's got to have an extra person tagging along. Because, Shime can't go set stuff up.
Why can't the draft be in Bermuda? Why do they got to have it in Detroit?
That's where they're having NFL owners meetings.
Have it someplace fun.
You know what? Like, they've had owners meetings. I talked about Amelia Island. My in-laws have a place down there. Literally, like, down the beach is where that Four Seasons is, where the NFL owners will gather there every once in a while. They've held meetings there. I would expect the Bermuda would be on the list at some point. I mean, if they could just as easily go to Southern California or Palm Springs or whatever, there's no reason why they couldn't go, set up at Grotto Bay right beside Grego.
So I'm going to find a way to fall in love with Detroit.
Why?
Maybe I had it wrong. Maybe it isn't the smelliest city I've ever been at.
Oh, I thought you were going to go down the road of because that's where the New England Patriots will find the guy that will change the franchise and get you all fired up, and you'll remember the day that X player was drafted number 3 overall and Detroit was the beginning of the rebirth of the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Yay!
And the key, since there is no Bill Belichick, you wonder if there's going to, like, the access to these players is going to be a little bit more easier since Bill isn't going to be monitoring and checking everything.
Oh, there is that,
so,
too.
So we're going to have to pull the whole, you're going to be blocker, you'll be master blaster, we'll go right behind you, we'll grab these guys, we'll interview them right away before Stacey James gets to them.
Yeah, we're gonna have to come up with some sort of a strategy. I already heard from Field Yates. They got so much going on. We're gonna try to squeeze him into like a Wednesday window, but for the people that we know at ESPN, they're gonna be just locked down with all the bull crap that they've gotta do. But we're reaching the tentacles out. Let's put it that way. By the way, Urban Surf 401 in the Twitch chat with a good line. Having the draft in Detroit is like, I guess Pawtucket wasn't available, which is true.
Been through Pawtucket a lot, too. Similar.
They're building that. They had a bunch of dopes down there. They got rid of the Paw Sox to build a soccer stadium for a league that
nobody watches.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's now gone up to like $135 million on that now public works project with a brand and a company that they've never done anything with. But you know what? Shove those rat bastard AAA team right out of town.
Have you seen your seating selection on the flight, by the way? You know where you're sitting?
I don't care. It's an hour. Just eat some gummies right before security
really?
And go to sleep.
For an hour?
Well, no, because if I know I'm going to be miserable and uncomfortable in the seat, which I'm all but guaranteed I will be, then, yeah, just give me enough to be able to zonk out and fine.
I want to know what happened to the private jet that we used to use to fly down to the Super Bowl. Oh, where's God. That thing at?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. Boy, having to bite my tongue on some of the lines that
I
have.
See if you'll make it through the week.
Oh, man.
The week with me. Just you and I together. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Could you imagine the wrong group of people being caught on a private jet in air?
What?
Could you imagine a bad mix of people on a private jet?
Yes.
Where you might want to goozle somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Want to put my WEEI, together?
Where there's definitely going to be a fight? The way things are now, it wouldn't be, but I'm just saying. Our draft coverage is brought to you by McFarland Energy, Greater Boston and Cape Cod's choice for home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC product service and services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee, and by McCormick Spices. I think McCormick makes a smash burger blend deal that I think I got recently that you can, like, add. I think it's
– made smash burgers the other day. Some of that in the building? Can we get a sample in here?
Well, you know what? You have a wallet and feet and a grocery store near you.
Well, I also have a
Because I went and purchased
office.
This on my own.
Yeah, but we should get some of that spices.
Somebody said Ken sold the jet to buy his pinky ring. What's this about Ken and the tight pinky rings? Is he walking around like some kind of mafioso now?
I have no idea.
If he came in here with some kind of big pinky ring, I missed it. And if it's a joke, then I missed it on the Greg Hill Show. Just like I didn't realize the Shine was all horny for his Olivia, I guess, is his Awaken coach or something like that. And apparently
he's horny for his Awaken coach.
That's what I heard. I don't know. Don't hold me to it.
I
think there was some kind of sex talk going on that show or whatever, and something came up, and I don't know. Maybe I misheard something, but there were some Twitchers the other day who were like, hey, this is the references from the morning show and all that stuff. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but...
Like a reverse Florence Nightingale situation.
A little bit. Skinny Scheim is definitely feeling himself. He's got about 15 to go for him to hit his goal, I think. But I think that's where some of the... Because there's, like, bongos references that everybody makes every once in a while on the Twitch chat or whatever. Yeah, we're lost on this. Horny Scheim is not something I want to think about. So, again, I don't necessarily want to go down that road with all Skinny Scheim kind of feeling himself.
And people in the Twitch, what is a smash burger? Really?
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 People don't know what a – Billy, you know what a smash burger is.
Kind of in the name, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a burger smashed down with a bunch of onions and deliciousness in it.
It gets a nice little crisp on the outside.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's easy to cook.
That's the best thing.
It's the best.
Honest to God.
30 seconds. Flip it, 30 seconds.
That's the best thing about it. The old school hamburgers that were so fat and they would shrink anyways, what a pain in the ass.
Oh, so they bust Scheimy's chops with that is what it is, according to some of the texters. So it kind of gets Scheim all fired up, so they poke fun at him. All right, so now that I know that, I'm going to poke fun at Scheim all the time now.
Olivia is a real person, though.
Apparently
it's not, it's
so,
not like
yeah.
somebody in his imagination.
Oh, and apparently bongos is Scheim's safe word. I don't know what's going on there, but that could get mixed up a little bit. All right.
Well, there you go. We're going to be in Detroit next week. Leaving Tuesday.
Bongos.
Coming back Friday.
That's right. We're back Friday night.
Friday night.
God willing. I wonder what kind of storm there would be. There were like tornadoes ripping through the middle part of the country the other day.
You see the whole Dubai airport?
It's oh, like my God. Lake. For those who didn't see this, apparently in Dubai, they got like 5 or 6 inches of rain in a day, which apparently is like what they get over a whole season.
Oh, geez.
So, you know,
so
like
flooded the whole place.
No,
yeah.
But like there have been, you know, us here, we've dealt with flash flooding and... It feels like every time it rains hard, it's like, you know, oh, we're just going to get 2 inches of rain today, not three or four that'll push the rivers over the flood stage. Like it feel, but apparently there, like that video of, I think it was the airport.
Yeah.
It looked like a lake.
Yeah. And it looked like a plane was trying to take off in the storm,
In the storm,
it's like, if you're a passenger, aren't you saying, hey, you can't, you, oh, my God.
Oh,
so you go to Twitch right now.
No,
why would you show the cat?
Why would we show a,
show the airport.
God almighty.
Poor little
Brian, you pull up a video of a cat trying to stay alive. Oh, Lord.
It's horrible, Brian.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Crash and Fourier on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
All right, so no guessing the hat today with our guy who joins us on the Harbor One hotline. He's got to phone it in today so we don't get to see his gigantic presence on Twitch. It's our friend Andy Hart of WEEI.com. Hart, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and if you want me to paint the picture, it is the tan brown bear's visor today that was...
Okay.
What part of the country are we in right now? Are we locally looking at schools, or are we outside the Commonwealth?
Well, just outing
local. Massachusetts. Okay. Massachusetts school. Just a visit locally.
Yeah, okay. Do you need, Gresh to put a good word in for, to make a call or something like that, you know? Kind of knows people?
No, I think we're good for right now. We'll see where it goes. We watched a nice spring football practice this morning, so I'm
did?
In the football mood.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, would it surprise you, Andy Hart, if you read or, I don't know, maybe heard about a story where apparently, as it's reported, Robert Kraft called Arthur Blank to warn him not to trust Bill Belichick, and that Kraft found Bill to be difficult, obstinate, kind of stubborn, and very, very arrogant. Would that surprise you if RKK said that to another owner in the league?
I'll be honest with you. This story kind of caught me off guard. The description of Bill Belichick that you just expressed would not surprise me. The decision to, after they had it, let me make sure I get this right, parted ways amicably,
yes.
The decision to share that with others was interesting to me. Certainly the lead candidate for his services, especially when, didn't you guys get the vibe when that day, whatever the hell day that was in January, they had the press conference and then they answered questions later. I got the idea that Robert thought Bill was going to be coaching in the NFL in 2024. He had like that comment of, you know, a different colored cutoff hoodie or something. And then he kind of submarines him, it sounds like here. And, you know, it's interesting. They always joke in the HR world that, you know, if you have a negative experience with employees, that it's just, yes, I can confirm that person worked here, right? And you just move on from there. That's all you're confirming. Well, sounds like Robert confirmed more than that. And again, do I think it's wrong and not true? Do I think it's falsehoods? No. I think Bill is arrogant and difficult to work with and stubborn and, you know, probably runs his own show more than most owners would like. But the sharing it with the lead candidate to be his future employer was a little surprising to me.
Listen, I don't think anything he said is any sort of surprise. And if you don't realize that these are kind of the attributes that are associated with Bill, then you just haven't been paying attention, right? He's stubborn. We get it. All those things.
Right.
The one thing, Andy, that stood out to me that if I'm Bill Belichick, I'd be really freaking angry if I find out if it's true. Quote, in the end, Bill, we're talking about not worthy of his trust.
Mm.
That was the quote. So you're telling me you would tell Arthur Blank, my potential employer, that Bill is not worthy of Arthur Blank's trust. Like, that, out of all the things, that's the thing that I think would be like an Et Tu Brute type of situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now, I don't know exactly what Robert would imply or mean by that. Like, you know, it's sort of a pretty damning description, but, you know, in terms of specifics, like, what was he thinking about? Was it, you know, the totality of his tenure? Was it something at the very end? Was it? And then the other thing that keeps kind of jumping into my mind here. So if you think Bill can't be trusted, and you think you're kind of advising someone not to hire, wouldn't you want somebody to hire him? Like, if there's mistrust and dysfunction in Atlanta, isn't that good for the Patriots? Like, or are you worried that he's going to go there and win? Like, I don't, the motivation here confuses me, because if you think Bill is not worthy of trust and therefore wouldn't have a good relationship with his new employer, isn't that one more team you don't have to worry about because it'll be a mess down in Atlanta? So I don't, I'm a little confused with the motivation here, but yeah, certainly that is the most damning thing that, that Robert said, I guess.
Yeah, and the other part of this is that it feels like now for 3 months, Andy Hart of WEI.com, that I do believe Tom Curran yesterday used the phrase stepping on a rake. It feels like that has happened at every turn for Robert Kraft. Is this just some heightened sensitivity during a time of change from the owner, or are we realizing that Robert Kraft is kind of petty and that maybe having Bill Belichick there to deflect everything kept us from realizing how petty the owner maybe really is?
Well, I don't know that it's just Bill there to deflect things. What I believe deflected things was victories, winning,
fair,
success. And I've been saying for the last year plus for both Bill and Robert, losing is undefeated. Losing has even defeated the greatness of Kraft and the greatness of Bill Belichick in many ways, in totality, over the last year, year plus, 2 years. You know, Bill started saying dumb things that he had to retract. Oh, why should fans be excited the last 25 years? Was that the first time Bill said anything dumb in his tenure? No. Might have been the dumbest, but it was. But when you're losing and you're going into a season with the need for good PR and momentum and hope and one voice and blah, 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 I think it's harder to do business. And therefore, it's like, you know, if Bill had been in Detroit, could he have acted like a boob the way Matt Patricia did with the reporter and with the team and blah, blah? Probably, because they were losing. And I think winning, you know, Matthew Slater used to say that when we would do the interviews with him on Mud at Night, winning covers all, pretty much, almost everything. Like, he giggles, you know, and I know Alex Cora has said this, like, when you're winning, doesn't mean you have a better clubhouse, a better team, smarter people. It means that stuff gets buried, gets covered up, doesn't get leaked. And then when you're losing, you look worse because people are more sensitive to it. So there's more pitfalls, there's more landmines in your course moving forward. And I think Robert has always been kind of petty. I think he's always cared about public perceptions and things of that and winning the deal. And, like, I think he's a businessman. I think most businessmen, most competitors are that way. They're looking to win in all aspects of their life and their business. And it's just when there's the losing surrounding his brand and his team, it's harder to come out smelling like roses in the end, I guess, the way he did for 20 years.
So, Andy, you know, so Brady officially retired. Bill, I guess, let's call him on hiatus right now. Whose post-Patriot career are you most interested in watching? Would it be Bill navigating his soon-to-be deal with Peyton Manning and their Omaha production, part of that whole telecast, or Brady doing the whole Fox game day situation?
Brady, because I don't even know if he's going to do it. You know,
you don't
know
think Brady's going to do the job? He's going to be work for Fox?
I don't know what he's doing. There's a year delay, and then he supposedly is preparing, but then he likes to throw out there on some Vic Blades podcast or Vic, whatever the hell his name is, deep cut podcast. Oh, you know, like, I'm ready to play. I'll always be able to throw. And, you know, the Patriots, like, I just don't know what Brady wants. To me, he seems, and Christian, this is probably more your world than mine. To me, he seems like a classic lost ex-athlete who just doesn't really know where the juice is coming from, where the life is going. I keep going back to the, remember that video of him on Instagram on the front of the yacht? It was just driving along and he was sunbathing by himself on the front of the yacht, I don't know, in Florida, Intercoastal Waterway, somewhere. I found it very sad. It's like football cost him his family, right? He got the divorce, so he's in that world of divorced ex-athlete.
You're
now
welcome.
He's an ex-athlete. TB12 kind of blew up.
Yep.
That didn't go where he once passionately said it was going to go. You know, he's signed to do Fox, but there's this weird delay. Is he really just going to fly city to city every week and sit in production meetings and be Tom Brady? Is that going to give
him
the juice?
Yeah. Because you know why, Hart? You just listed the reasons why. This guy wants to get into the world of NFL ownership. He's going to have to borrow money to be able to make that happen based on sort of the valuation that the NFL owners mm-hmm. are forcing him to swallow. So, I don't know, $18 million a year, $180 million on the schedule to be able to try to borrow against for a guy who hasn't had some smashing business success. It's among the few things that he can count on to say, look, I got this much money coming in because I'm doing this job. I think Tom Brady almost has to do this if he wants to get into that world of NFL ownership because he needs the dough.
Maybe. I also think he's got enough connections. He can, and whether he's the actual full investor, like he can get somebody to back him. And I think this might be going down the road. If he really wants to do the John Elway thing, like I think he wants back into football. And I don't think it's likely that's going to be playing quarterback the way he says he will be able to. So running a team, being at the combat, competing, luring free agents, like I think that's the closest buzz he's going to get. And if he can do that from an ownership perspective and then be the president of the team that's involved in those decisions and operations, I just keep getting the vibe that he's a man who doesn't know where the path is going and he doesn't like the current path that he's on.
Well,
I don't think he is content and fulfilled.
Well, I feel what you're saying. And the one word that you said that I think carries the most weight is the buzz you get. If you're calling games as a former athlete, you are basically like a spectator at the Super Bowl. Like you're not the game. Like he's covering it. He's getting the information. He's not the source. He's not, you know, the genesis of anything. He just covers it and he that's all he does. So there technically is less importance to that. I do think that eventually he goes the John Elway route because he's able to personally have a massive impact on that team. You know, you wine and dine the free agents. You know, you deal with all these other owners. I think there's more.
That's a big pay cut, though.
Yeah, but listen, John Elway owned, I don't know, 25, 30 John Elway car dealerships.
Yeah.
And he sold them all. He was so done with it. He had so much money. He was like, I'd rather do this.
And I'm not saying Brady's broke, but it sounds like if John Elway woke up with Brady's money, he would be like, oh, my God,
no,
I got to start over again.
It's the buzz. It's chasing the challenge. That is what it's about. Like,
okay.
So he opens up TB12. I open up a stupid restaurant. You always make these dumb mistakes. You make them early when you retire. That's what I would say. So he's got to find somebody like me who would tell him, listen, stay in your lane, go with what you know, and then make the best of that situation. This biggest mistake is going to be chasing 10 different things. Pick one.
Right.
Yeah.
Pick one.
I think he's about to. Well, we know that Andy Hart is out with his kids chasing dreams of going to college. And Hart, we'll let you go, friend. Thanks a bunch. We appreciate the chat. And next week, we will talk to you from Detroit. How about that?
Absolutely. And I don't know if Brady's finding the juice he seeks, but I'm enjoying that we're coming down the home stretch here the final week to this draft because I'm as intrigued and excited for this draft as any in forever. So Drake May, hashtag take Drake, maniacs. See you guys.
All right, there you go. There goes our buddy Andy Hart of WEEI.com with us on the Harbor One hotline. We kind of freed up a couple of minutes here because within right before we talked to Andy Hart, so this dropped about 12:20. Remember Toronto? Almost Toronto Argonauts. Good Lord. Toronto Raptor player Jonte Porter. Two-way player recently under contract with Toronto. The hammer has been dropped on Porter. Permanently banned from the NBA.
Wow.
A league investigation found Porter violated league rules by disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes, and betting on NBA games. League's investigation found that prior to the Raptors' March 20th game, Porter disclosed confidential information about his own health status to an individual he knew to be an NBA bettor. Another individual with whom Porter associated and knew to be an NBA bettor subsequently placed an $80,000 parlay prop with an online sports book that won $1.1 million, wagering that Porter would underperform in the March 20th game. There's much more in here. What do you make of this?
Well, and also that March 20th game, he took him out of that game. He took him out. He took himself out of that game. It's amazing. Even when I'm hearing you read this, I'm like, these guys, it's amazing. They always figure you out.
According to Woj, apparently Porter bet on the Raptors to lose.
Okay, well, the report I just saw was that he never bet on basketball.
Yeah, no, that
okay,
is.
Okay, so that's been played out.
Yeah, whomever reported that can't read the NBA press release. Good Lord.
No, well, there's the five different stories, so they obviously didn't read that one. So, and that's why he's banned, because that ultimately is the biggest thing. The same thing with going on with Ohtani. If Ohtani was betting, as long as you're not betting on baseball, like, you're probably fine. Betting has basically been decriminalized. It has been. There's no real, issue with it. For most people, it's not a vice you need to hide. Okay, you can bet. I can bet. Players can bet. Don't bet in your complex. Don't bet on your team.
I'm glad you brought up Ohtani, because the Ohtani thing that way more money. Okay, get it. But that was with the illegal bookmakers. It even says in the NBA release here, Christian, the suspicious bets involving Porter's performance in the Raptors' March 20th game were brought to the NBA's attention by licensed sports betting operators and an organization that monitors legal betting markets. That's why that Ohtani thing was such a big deal, was because you were betting on Hawk. Whereas in the legalized betting market, you have to have the money to be able to place the wager in most instances, unless you get a marker from a casino, and that's completely different. But the fact that the watchdogs were able to catch this should, in a way, give us confidence in the whole open sports betting market, and that if there's anything untoward, it is going to be caught.
So it is amazing. So Vegas is so just on point with – so a big bet goes on the board – and then there's all these other factors that they kind of find out about that leads them to something doesn't smell right. Even the fact that didn't he have the most unders bet on him in a short period of span?
No, there was
some sort of like – he was always – there. People were always betting the under with him.
But again, it's also – it's interesting the way you said it. Oh, Vegas has it so wired. No, it's not even that anymore now. It's not just Vegas. It's the sports betting community as a whole, all of the operators, all of the people who are operating online, whether it's – remember, this is a player playing in Canada. So you have different betting operators up there than here. It's overall everybody in the sports betting market communicating. It's not just out of Vegas. Let's remember – again, this is a guy who's playing in Canada or with the Raptors 905 team, which is like playing for the Maine Celtics. It's pretty amazing that the NFL and the sports betting partners and the watchdog groups were able to kind of sniff this out and figure it out pretty quickly.
I'm sitting there every time I think, wow, if I was still playing, would they catch me? Like if I wanted to bet on myself.
Yeah.
Would they – if you really kind of really worked it out, there's got to be a way.
No,
the answer is I wouldn't even try it.
No, here's the way. It would be this. You and I are friends. Hey, what's game plan? I ain't getting nothing. I'm betting the under. Hey, I'll give you some extra money because I know there isn't a ball coming my way. Boom, done.
I know, but see,
and they'd have no idea. And then I go to you with a fistful of cash.
I know, but the problem with that is,
yeah,
like now this guy has you by your you know what.
Nah.
No. That's part of it.
In order to do it,
you need to have somebody you trust.
If you're in him with a nefarious character, I would say yes. But if it were Billy or Nick or me, we would protect you because we'd be winning in the process.
And you can't do big, large sums of money. You have to nickel and dime it. Don't go all in. Just realize that it's a long thing. You're going to lose some, but overall, you win.
Have Porter be a part of an
$80,000 on one.
Bingo. That's it. $80,000 parlays. Like, God dang.
It's like all of a sudden, red flag. Of course. Like, what's going on?
I know he hasn't done very well against this guy, but I got a hunch he's due.
There you go.
That's my guy.
There it is. The hunch once again. MLB is being shamed by the NBA, according to a texter. That's pretty interesting as well. Well, how about Kendrick Perkins maybe doing the Lord's work and calling out two of TNT's finest? That's next.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime.
Just download the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY.
Say WEEI is a favorite and listen wherever you go.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
All right, big deal, no big deal. I love it when former players, former pro players in any sport who are all retired and they're all commentating in their own, you know, sports that they used to play in.
You mean like Tom Brady will be next year?
Yeah, how critical will he really be? But he won't be on any real talk shows, so he won't have a lot of time to... He's not going to be on, like, you know... Like,
oh, what, you mean Cowherd isn't going to get Brady on? They're all in the Fox family?
No,
come on.
I bet you there's some language in his contract where he does not have to go on there and critique other people.
No. Yeah.
But the basketball community is totally different.
They don't care.
And it's comical, okay, especially when Kendrick Perkins does it. And he was on with Michael Kay, and here's what he had to say about the TNT crew, Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley.
You've believed in the Knicks for a while. We have seen what they've done. But then guys like Barkley and Shaq, they kind of like dismiss the Knicks. They're going to get knocked out in the first round. What are they seeing that you're not seeing that we're not seeing? Why are they down on them?
Because obviously they don't watch basketball.
I love it. I love it.
I'm serious. They can't watch basketball on a consistent basis. The only time that they actually probably watch the Knicks are when they're covering the Knicks on their game night. So if you're watching the New York Knicks, there's no way in hell that you could just downplay the way that they've been playing the game of basketball.
Ooh, big deal, no big deal. Perkins calling out Barkley and Shaq.
No big deal. I mean, it's kind of common. Plus, it's Perk.
Yeah.
And we know that Perk doesn't take no guff from nobody. So it doesn't matter who is pushing back on him, whether it's on the ESPN set, whether it's Screaming A. Smith, or whether it's, you know, Big Shaq or Chuck. Perk don't care. So that's why I think it's a no big deal.
Yeah, you know why I think it's no big deal? Because I think he's right. I think he called him out. Put them in their place because I don't think it's humanly possible, especially when they're sitting there covering the NCAA tournament, which is a whole other example of them not. I mean, it's not like Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley have been paying attention to, you know, Oakland, basketball team out of Michigan.
Well, it would be the equivalent of, say, to keep it in the ESPN family, like having the Mannings having Perk on because the Patriots are playing.
Yeah.
And Perk played in Boston, right?
Yeah. But we're not done yet.
Uh-oh.
Because, of course, in the NBA, like, they're just not going to let that go. Barkley's not going to let that go. Shaq's not going to let that go. They actually responded the other night.
I watched that game.
He had like three dunks. No, in the same game.
I did.
You watched that game.
The Knicks game and this game, he had three dunks that probably will live forever.
We don't watch the Knicks game, Chuck, but I watched that game.
Shaq, you out here killing roaches, aren't you?
Oh, you know it.
I ain't gonna even get no love, no guy. Hey, 5 points a game. 5 points a game, gonna call me out.
So what you didn't see, obviously, is when they came back from commercial break, they showed Blake Griffin dunking on Kendrick Perkins, and they kept playing it and replaying it. And Shaq, of course, is laughing. Barkley's laughing. You're out there killing roaches. Like they're looking at Kendrick Perkins. Like, look, you average 5 points a game. You don't have the – we're not giving you the green light to critique us.
Yeah, and that's where Perk puts – and I'll use the reference again for a third time today. Perk can put his championship ring on his middle finger and flip Chuck off.
Well, he can.
Because Chuck wants to make it about the accomplishments.
That's
then,
true.
Then what are we doing listening to you when it comes to championships, Chuck? Like, that's the dangerous road of going down the hole. Oh, well, look at what that guy did. Look at what this guy did. Because you can poke holes in pretty much anybody's resume. Like, it sounded like Shaq was much more playful about it than Chuck. Like, I think with Shaq.
Yeah, because Shaq has, like protection.
Big man society, yeah, or whatever. And, he kind of busts Perk's balls or whatever. But it sounded like with Chuck, it's like, you're going to call me out? God forbid a poker player ever shows up there and looks at Chuck and says, yeah, I'm going to call you out.
Yeah, but it is funny because, I'm sure those guys. Listen, you've done studio. You've called games before. There are so many stinking games in college football where, listen, the producer come up to me, will say, hey, I want you to give me a breakdown on San Jose State and New Mexico. Sorry, dude. Haven't seen one of their games. Can't tell you who their coach is, but I'll try. Go to the computer. San Jose State, New Mexico. Looking for anything that I can find.
You need 20 seconds.
And I got to talk really slow. And that is why I think the Spartans will win.
Too much of a giveaway.
Too much?
Too much of a giveaway. I love it, though. I
effing suck so bad.
By the way, I love Shaq. Shaq and Perk, I can't get enough of.
Shaq can do anything. Barkley, he's not protected.
No.
And I know you. I don't know if you've ever seen that game, that show he had with Gail King.
Oh, I mean the one they canceled this week?
The one they canceled.
He's like, oh, it never got any traction.
Oh, really?
Why.
Oh, because you guys suck.
Yeah.
Stick to TNT. Stick to those commercials that you do with, Spike Lee.
Well, CNN is a Turner property, so maybe it was one of those, we'll throw you on here type things. It's like what they do at ESPN. Hey, for you, we'll bring you in for 50 TV dates. Oh, yeah, we'll throw you some radio, too. And then you won't do it. Pay you for it, and we'll get back.
Yeah, and if you're walking down the hall and somebody on SportsCenter wants a comment from you, you're going to have to say yes. So keep this microphone tucked into your belt at all times and your IFB in the back of your shirt, and we can just plug you in and you can go. Okay.
It's great.
Fine.
Done. See you later.
That's it?
I think that's what they do with Perk. He's on everything up there at ESPN. They got him on in the morning. They got him on at night. They got him on the midday. It's crazy.
And do you think Perk has the capacity to watch every single NBA team also?
No.
I don't think so.
No, but he has the benefit of the four-letter network.
Even Scal.
Who will do the work for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, even Scal. Like, how is Scal going to do a bunch of radio on satellite when he is and talk about the rest of the league when he's calling a Celtics game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's recaps.
I love me a condensed game.
Listen to you. We'll talk some hockey with our guy Scott McLaughlin of the Skate Pod and of WEEI.com about the Bruins next.